Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
I don't want any secrets from you. When the conversation in New Jersey with my parents plays on TV, so you're not blinded or caught off guard, I'm just wanting to make sure that you know what Lou told me. He said, as it stands where you guys are right now, if you were our couple that I was working with, I would not marry you. I just want you to know that that's what was said in New Jersey, but they both went.
Another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Cara Berry. Today we're talking Summer House, Hamptons, of course. Man, I had been like, can I say this is my favorite episode? No. This is the best episode of the season, probably. And I watched that episode on Tuesday and I was like, God, I can't wait for you guys to see it. So I'm so glad that we can discuss. I feel like I'm going to have some hot takes. But we'll get into it. We'll get through it. We know we're friends. And I know that even though sometimes we disagree, we're still a family. Okay? So the episode begins. We're back in the city. We're getting our typical B-roll footage of like what everybody's up to, right? Gabby's on the phone with her parents. She's talking fashion week, Lindsay's bridal shower. Kyle took his sons, West and Jesse, to Dave & Buster's to go play basketball. Everything's great in Manhattan, right? Craig and Paige go for a picnic and they're like walking along the river and she goes, that's the Hudson River, honey. Or no, that's the East River. And then Paige says, they like sit down, they have a little cute thing. She's got the cheese, a whole charcuterie board. And she tells him, you know, sometimes I don't know if I show that I appreciate you enough. And I do also feel like I throw a lot of things at you. Like last year I told you I don't want to get engaged yet or move. And I feel like some guys would be like, see ya. But you just kind of roll with it. And Craig's like, yeah, you're not easy. And she says, well, nothing worth having is easy. Craig, Paige is in a confessional that I'm self-aware enough to know that I'm not the most emotionally open person, but I'm dating somebody who is exceptionally emotional. And I do have to remind myself that sometimes I do need to be like a little kinder, a little sweeter. So Craig tells us, Paige rather, like the only thing that gets me is, I don't know if you like me or not. And like the delight that Paige got on her face, it was like she was hiding in bed. She and Amanda were hiding in bed. Just the glee of the idea that Craig wakes up in a flop sweat of terror of, does Paige like me or does she not? It's awful. She's like, I love that actually. Do you do that? Really? I love that. So then Craig tells her like, listen, I would say with my business taking off and you're like looking at new apartments, sometimes in my head, like, yeah, I'm cool with like, let's wait to get married, but there's some benefits to not waiting too long. So Paige asks them, what's your number, right? What's the age where you're like, okay, do or die. Now you're doing too much, Paige, and we've been waiting too long. And then Craig says something that I know we all knew intellectually, but I still think collectively it took us aback when Craig says, I'm 35 and I would like to have my first child by 40. Like, I know that I'm older than Craig, but am I? Is that right? 35. Listen, I mean, he's a good looking dude, but the Charleston heat does something to people. The sun, it's different in the low country. It just hits different. Okay. So he says, I want to think like, I don't want to start over at 40 and be like, you knew it. You knew this all along, Craig. And that's really what was fascinating to me is that it's not the like, oh, I'm cool, I'm cool. It's like, oh, in 5 years, I'm going to look back and be like, you're a fucking dumbass because you knew this chick didn't want you. You knew it. And even though I've been saying, like, I think their relationship is fine, and I do think it's fine, I also feel like they do have, like, very serious things to get over. And I don't know if it's healthy to be in a relationship with anybody if you're looking at it like, I don't want to look in the future and realize that what I've been feeling now is correct. I think that's maybe not great, you know? I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that. So Paige says, listen, I'm not ready to get married. I'm not ready to get married, to get, like, have babies. She talks about being a planner. And, like, I don't even know where I want to, like, put down roots to have children. So now Paige is acting like, partly I like to plan everything, but also my life is such a mess. I don't know what's going on. How could I possibly make this more serious? And at this point, like I said, I had kind of hopped off the interest train of like what's going on with their relationship, but I don't know. Maybe I'll pop back into Southern Charm. We'll see. We'll see. So Craig tells her it's okay to change your mind. And I don't want you to keep yourself from like telling me stuff, but I don't like being insecure in our relationship. And I try to fight that because I don't want to be a pussy. And Paige says, yeah, I don't want you to be a pussy either. And I don't want you to think that, like, everything with me is going to take, like, a little bit longer. And that is, like, a fault of yours. And it's because of something that you're doing. You think I'm going to let you go now that you grew your hair out and you're dressed like Jordan Belfort? That's the hottest man to you? Wolf of Wall Street? Girl. Okay, we got to go over to a much, much less pleasant place in Manhattan, over to Red House, where they're sitting on the couch, and Lindsay asks Carl, I gotta say, I found the couch to be very distracting. It just didn't seem to flow with the space. Like, I'm sure they had some sort of designer that deeply discounted their services for Instagram exposure, but I think we maybe could have. It's like that big black couch and the space is so light. Like, it's just windows, views, stuff. So why? I didn't like it. These are the things that I hyper-focus on. Sometimes, like, I just don't like that couch. And it didn't have arms. I don't like this trend of couches not having arms. No offense to you. But, like, I just don't like it. I think this might stem from the fact that, like, early days of Sister Wives, they would get the most ridiculous furniture. If you just want to, like, just type in Sister Wives couch, Sister Wives chair, Sister Wives big chair, and you're going to be absolutely shocked at what you find in your search results. And so you can see why I might be a little bit damaged for things that don't have arms on them. But anyway, so they're having this awful conversation. Just Lindsay asking Carl, oh, how did the Jersey Shore go? Anything happen? And Carl's like, good. Nothing to report. Definitely Lou didn't say that we shouldn't get married. Just a fun hangout. Love seeing my mom. Love Sharon, you know? And so Lindsay's like, okay, well, did they give any advice? And then Carl has to be like, I'm trying to think. Any nuggets? Anything at all? Obviously, like, they were asking about the wedding and what's going on, like, making sure that we're on track and that I have my head on straight, that I'm not too stressed. And then Carl says in a confessional, I can't be mad at my parents for being real with me, but what I do with that from there is a big decision, and I'm trying to figure that out. Babe, you're trying to figure out how to GTFO. You're not trying to figure it out. You're trying to figure out how to get the fuck out, right? So he says, you know, like, it's hard. I know we haven't been in a great spot. My parents know that we haven't been in a great spot. But right now we're in a better spot. So it's like this weird feeling. I don't want to go down this road again when we've kind of healed a little bit and we're moving forward. Do you think that's true? It just seems like maybe they have more so found a groove in how to avoid each other. Like, he's going to, like, golf. You know, like, they're just, it seems like they're at the point in the relationship where at some point, and I still don't think it's happening for Lindsay, but at some point, we're going to look back at this particular time and be like, oh, it was over like a long time ago. And we're both just going through the motions and like being polite to each other. And like, because neither one of us wants to be the one to call it, right? Like, that's what's happening. That's what I'm seeing. So, like, while I see a lot of people who have a lot of empathy for Lindsay, and I do too, I just think that, like, both of them maybe knew that this was over at this point. I don't know. I'm not putting the onus on her. I am putting the onus on Carl. Let me make sure this will happen throughout the episode. But I just feel like I've been in situations, like, much, not any time recently, but like, these are like early 20s to mid 20s relationships where you know that it's over and you start like being nice because it's just like not worth it anymore. And you don't want to be the bad guy, and you can sense it on a level. Like, you don't really know, like, oh, we're breaking up, but you know, and you're like, oh. Like, you're just, like, a little bit more gentle, a little bit more forgiving, a little softer. And that's what I've been seeing happen with Lindsay. Like, she knows, but she doesn't know. Like, to me, I think their relationship ended when she said, I don't think you're crushing life. I think he was really pissed off about the sobriety thing, and he had every right to be. But I think the relationship officially ended when she was like, no, you're not crushing life, and that's not a turn on to me. At that moment, he was done. I saw him leave. Elvis exited the building for me. Y'all run that shit back and let me know what you think. But so then, you know, he goes back. We're going back to this conversation. He's like, you know, I feel like I like hearing from my parents, but I'm going to do what I want to do. And Lindsay goes, right. What were they saying? And Carl goes, no, just like in general, like they just wanted to make sure we're in a good place before we get married. We've had some ups and downs, but I've always said, you know, I'm trying to work through this and I just want some more support and not like questioning. And so Lindsay goes, okay, from them or from me? And Carl says, them. And they do support us. And like, that's what I'm hoping for. And I was just reminding them, like, we're both committed and we're working through it. I'm not trying to prove anybody wrong. Like, I just know I love you. And I'm still going to do what I want to do. And so Lindsay's like, okay, were they telling you that we should break up? And Carl says, no. And so, like, I'm with Lindsay. It's like, okay, but you keep saying I'm still going to do what I want to do. So, like, that's confusing. So Carl says, they just want to make sure that we're ready to get married. And Lindsay says, well, what do you mean? Like, timing-wise? And he goes, no, they just want to make sure we're in a good place. Like, my parents are hearing that we got in two fights at the start of summer. That makes them think, oh, they're having a tough time. So why are they rushing to get married, you know? Rushing to get married? Not rushing, but like, oh, okay. Well, that concerns me if they're saying that, like, they're worried for you to get married to me. And Carl goes, no, they're just worried that we're not in a good place. And then it's just silence. And Carl goes, let me try one more time. I would have been on the balcony, one leg over, okay? They're worried if you and I aren't in a good place that the wedding stuff is a lot of pressure. And so Lindsay's like, right. Well, won't be awkward at all after I see your mom, huh? So this is the perfect time for Lindsay's bridal shower, right? Yay. Gabby's wearing basic, like, pearl. Like a pearl colored dress. I mean, she straight up says, I'm giving bride without giving bride, which is sadly also what Lindsay's about to be doing, unbeknownst to her. I had to say it. We get appearances from Amanda, Sam. She's got a high pony and a bag full of sex toys. Jacqueline, the fit model that like kind of had this weird triangle thing with Lindsay and Carl, I think, right? I think so. And then in walks Lindsay, like, full Leo. I'm a bride, ready to pose. Just, like, turning for the girls, giving a full shimmy and a shake. And then she says in a confessional, I never thought I'd be here. Like, this is a really special moment with the strong women who've been in my life to celebrate this new chapter in my life that we really weren't even sure if I would ever get to. Oh! Oh, bitch. Diva down. And then in locks Sharon. Mama Sharon. But before we talk about Sharon, we gotta talk about something else. Someone else. Miss Carolyn. Harpo, who is this woman? Apparently, we've been hearing nothing about Lindsay's upbringing outside of the fact she grew up with a single father. She had her Aunt Rhonda, her mom cut and run. She's got these serious abandonment issues because of her mama. And then here walks this angel, Miss Carolyn, who apparently has been married to her father since, or in a relationship with her father at least, since she's three. And has been like a mom to her. Why are we dropping this new character who's been in her life this whole time? What? I'm confusion. So we got to talk like it's like a brunch. Some sort of meal, a sit down meal, two tables, long tables, gorgeous little outdoor setting. And Lindsay's sitting in between Carolyn and Sharon. And it is so fucking awkward. I think the editors and production really missed an opportunity to, like, I don't know. Do you think that this season would be even better if we were getting, like, knowing what we know now, kind of shady confessionals from the other cast members of, like, oh, yeah, at this point, what's going on here? And at this point, like, what's going on here? I would have liked to hear from, like, Amanda or Danielle, Gabby. Were they picking up on the tension between Lindsay and Sharon? Because every scene of theirs, it seems very palpable. There are times where Lindsay's looking at the camera as she's hugging Sharon, like, ugh, I don't want to look. Like, this is fucking awkward. Like, I'm confused. So Lindsay's having this, like, deep conversation with Carolyn about, you're my mom, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is such a thing. And Sharon just taps Lindsay on the shoulder. And Lindsay is like, look at Sharon, like, she didn't know that she's been sitting next to her this whole time. Like, oh, hey, you want to join into our mommy-daughter talk? We're having a mommy-daughter talk right now. Do you want to join in, my future mommy? Like, she's laying it on so thick because she knows the Sharon doesn't like her. And quiet as it's kept, y'all, I feel like she been knew that Sharon hasn't really liked her. I don't think, in my opinion, it's not giving that Sharon has. Like, I remember a time prior to this relationship where Sharon and Lindsay were like, woo, besties, like, having a great time. She was surprising Sharon with Carl. Am I saying that right? Surprising Carl with Sharon a couple seasons ago and all this stuff. Like, but now, since they've been this relationship, I haven't seen nothing. We gotta remember, they did not go to the engagement party. And Carl was like, oh, yeah, like, whatever. They were busy or something. But I put that in my notebook for later. Lindsay has said in the after show, I believe, or maybe it was on Watch What Happens Live, that she had not seen Lou in like a year, which I'm like also putting in the notebook. How is that possible? You hadn't seen this man really since y'all got engaged? Like, something in the milk ain't clean with that. So back to mommy-daughter tack. Sharon's like, oh, I don't know if I should get mixed up in, like, mommy-daughter. That's very important stuff. And, you know, I know we're not about to be that. So Lindsay says in a confessional, I've known Sharon pretty much as long as I've known Carl, and I'm excited to have Sharon as a mother-in-law, but I can't help but feel a tinge of awkwardness because of what I just found out. And that is not a tinge. It's a splash. It's a heavy splash. A heavy splash, a heavy, heavy cream. It's a dollop of heavy cream. So then Lindsay, like, stretches her arms out and is just like, me and my mom's. And then she gets up to talk to some of the other ladies, right? Sharon. somebody asked her, oh, what are you wearing to the wedding? And she's like, oh, I don't know. Like, Lindsay's got a whole thing. I'm not 100%. So then Lindsay walks up to this group and she puts her arms around Sharon and is like, isn't it so great that she came, you guys? And Sharon says, well, yeah, I mean, I have to. I'm the mother-in-law. And she says, well, you didn't have to, but I'm so glad you did. It really means a lot to me. And, you know, Carl and I talked earlier, and he was telling me that you guys talked at the Jersey Shore, and you kind of had some concerns. I'm sorry. So this is where I have to take out the blindsided meter and say, how you're confronting Sharon at the bridal shower about her concerns. So how... You know what I mean? And we don't have to harp on it. I'm just like, I'm just confused. Okay? And we can move on. Okay? We'll just move on. So Sharon says, yeah, I'm concerned, just like as any parent would be. And Lindsay says, well, he mentioned that you had some concerns about us getting married, and it kind of broke my heart a little bit, because I was like, oh no, like, I don't want to worry your parents. So Sharon hugs her, because much like last week when Lou was letting the chopper spray all over the situation, she's like, oh God, this is like a lot for me. She's like, no, hugging her, just like, no, I just know that you guys had a fight in the early part of the summer. Like, she doesn't want no parts of this, okay? She does not want to be in this. She does not like Lindsay, but she also doesn't want to be involved in this. Like, and that's just my truth, okay? That's the truth that I'm putting on them. So Lindsay says, listen, I've never been in a relationship with anybody suffering with or dealing with addiction, and I try to do the best I can and support, but, like, it's new to me too, you know? And Sharon says, I know, and it's hard. It's all hard. And I'm just so looking forward to having you in the family. And she hugs Lindsay again. And this is where Lindsay looks at the camera like, So Lindsay says, well, if there's any way I could reassure you. And Sharon says, you just have to love that boy. And she says, I do.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. As we all know, when it comes to everyone's business, I like to mention it all, but when it comes to mine, I like to keep things a little bit closer to the chest. But that method doesn't always work when it comes to your mental health, and we all need a way to purge and get it out. Therapy is a safe space to do that and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down by learning positive coping skills and all the tools you need to help you be the best version of yourself. BetterHelp is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So you can just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/everyone's business today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/everyone's business. I don't know. And then they hug it out. But again, Lindsay looks like she's straight up about to cry. It's not good. And Sharon tells her, listen, if we have any questions, it's just because we want the best for both of you. And Lindsay says, I'm excited for you to be my mother-in-law. And Sharon says, well, hey, Lauren Workus says I would be a great mother-in-law. And Lindsay's like, okay, well, I also think that you would be a great mother-in-law. Thanks a lot. And then Carl walks in, and I have to say, when I saw this happen on Instagram, because y'all know that I've been this relationship's number one hater, when I saw this on Instagram in real time, and I saw Carl walk in with that cream double-breasted suit and those pants, I was like, I don't like this girl. Carl says in a confessional, I know the road hasn't been super easy, but the takeaway that I have for my parents is that this is a time to figure it out one way or the other. And I want to get married. And I love Lindsay. And I know we can make this work. Carl. I don't think any of those things are true. I don't think one, two, or three of those things that you just mentioned are true. I don't. Then he says, oh, God. Well, is that it? No, I think that's it. They're like, you know, they're kissing, but it's just very like, when you pretend like you've got lip gloss on, you don't really want to kiss him. It's just that very like a super pecked out. Like, I don't want to touch you at all, but I have to. Because the photographer from People Magazine's here and we're already getting paid for this. The check's in the mail. So, hey, love you. And then finally, we're back in the Hamptons. Thank fuck. Okay. Paige and Sierra are riding together. And we find out that, like, Paige was invited to the bridal party, bridal shower. She says, Lindsay's been great. Like, not just to me, to everybody. I don't even know who this chick is. I think we've made a lot of steps in the right direction as far as our relationship goes. Dare I say she's been very nice. But Miss Manners, I'm not going to go to a wedding shower when I'm not even invited to the wedding. Fair enough, girl. Fair enough. West is riding with Jesse, and they're talking about him interviewing with Complex. We find out, West says, this is the second to last weekend in the house. And he's like, okay, well, Jesse, what's going on with you? Like, your big day's about to come up. What happens? Do you do a scan? Blah, blah, blah. So Jesse says in a confessional that Tuesday coming up, he has his 5-year checkup for cancer, which is a big deal in the community, because usually when you can get your 5-year mark, the chances of you getting a reoccurrence are like very low. And he's like, I'm trying not to let it get me down, but like, obviously it's all I can think about. So he's got to do blood work. He's got a chest x-ray, do a little exam. And Wes is like, yeah, if you get a hard on, like, no big deal, man. Like, it's okay. Jesse's like, I'm good. Like, you're just so worried about, like, having cancer. Getting a boner from, like, a 70-year-old dude touching you is not really a concern. Like, I think I got that part. So back in Paige's car, she's talking to Sierra, like, have you missed West? And she says, yeah, like, he was not in town this weekend. Like, we haven't seen each other at all. I'm, like, missing him real bad, real bad. So let me go back to the boys' car where West asks Jesse. So, like, going into cozy season, are you trying to get a shorty? What? Wes, please don't say that again. Jesse says, listen, I've been single so long, I don't even consider the seasons or anything. So Wes tells him, I'm only saying this because, like, I relate to this, like, in this moment. So what do you think you would do, like, if the right girl comes along? Do you think you could really stop fucking every girl you're seeing right away? And Jesse's like, yeah, absolutely. And Wes is like, no, really? Dude, I'm so afraid of that. And Jesse says, well, aren't you doing that currently? And then he just says, and they kind of laugh, and we leave it at that. But last week, Wes said that Derek, who, y'all told me, Derek, who is Sierra's manager, was on a reality show called A-List. I think it was A-List Hollywood, or was it A-List New York? I'm not sure. But he was on a show back in the day, which makes sense as to why he was so camera ready at this point. But anyway, West said that when Derek touches dick, that was the first person who touched his dick the whole summer. So after that, we're at the house and Gabby's taking over for the weekend. We're having a dinner hosted by Chef Alex and a witchin' and bitchin' theme vibe. She's going to have an astrology friend come over, do tarot, that kind of shit. So Jesse tells everybody, you know, we get another update of what Jesse Solomon did, dating digest for the week. He tells him, I went on a date with two different girls, two different dates with two different girls, and now I hate both of them. And everybody just laughs. I would really hate to be a girl of Jesse, a girl of summer of Jesse's in 2023. I hate to see it, girls. I hate to see it. I hope Bravo gives all those girls like a pass to BravoCon, general admission, not VIP. You deserve that at the very least. 2025? I think so. Anyway, so West is outside with Lindsay, Gabby, Danielle. They're talking about astrology. They're like, West, are you even going to take this seriously? He's like, yeah. If it sounds cool, I am. If it's not, I'm going to say it's bullshit. But, like, what's the thing? Are they going to talk about, like, people we shouldn't fuck with? Who are you going to be with forever? Like, what's going on? Lindsay says, speaking of, with Sierra, are you exclusive? And Wes is like, no, like, I think we're just in this kind of weird, like, it's a weird pigeonhole to be exclusive with somebody, but also not be having sex with them. Which, I'm like, well, just do the work, dude. If you want to have sex with her. It feels like he's the one who's putting them in this weird zone, but also, Sierra's clearly liking him more and more and more. And I tell you what, Wes, I'll tell you one thing. If Sierra has to have her heart broken by yet another naturally blonde adult man on television, I'm coming for you myself, okay? And I know the first one wasn't your fault, but you got to tighten up as number two. We can't have this. But Gabby and the girls are like, yeah, we get the whole pigeonholing thing. But Lindsay says, well, are you texting girls? Is the door open still to other ones? And Wes says, well, I wouldn't say the door is open, but I haven't, like, fully shot down every other chick. So they're like, okay, what is it? Are girls texting you and, like, you're hitting them back? And Wes says, yeah, but it's, like, friendly, flirty conversation. Like, I just kind of flirt. That's just sort of how I communicate. And then Sierra walks out, perfect time. She's like, my man, my man, my man. Arms around him, pick me up, daddy, kiss him on the face, like, oh, it's bad, it's bad. So Amanda and Kyle show up. Amanda's like in the kitchen saying, well, what if the tarot reader says that Kyle and I don't belong together? And Sierra's like, well, we tried to tell you that, bitch. Too late now. So now everybody's getting ready for dinner. Well, they're about to, right? They're at the pool. Wes hands Paige his cell phone. No, my voice, I don't know what's happening. And he's like, just read what it says. So she's reading. He's getting an offer letter from Complex, right? So he's taking his clothes off so that he can jump in the pool. And one thing that I've noticed about West is that when he gets excited or right before they're about to go to an event or start something, one thing about him is he wants to jump in the pool. So he jumps in the pool. Everybody's so excited. I have not seen this man smile until he got employed, which, you know, to be fair, I get it. And he's like, now when I meet somebody and they ask what I do for work, like, I have an answer. This is lit. Great. Great for him. So everybody goes inside and Lindsay asks Amanda. It's like Amanda and Paige in the bathroom. And Lindsay's like, oh, hey, can I borrow some powder? And they're talking about Sierra and how, like, down she is for West. And Lindsay says, well, West was saying just before y'all got here that he's texting other girls. Like, he mentioned keeping the door open. And Amanda says, well, I mean, that makes sense that he wouldn't shoot down conversation, but I don't think he's, like, making moves. And so Lindsay has to be like, yeah, I guess I didn't really ask him if he was, like, talking to anybody else. And Paige says, yeah, let's be honest. Like, what guy is going to go all summer without having sex? And then Amanda says, but listen, Sierra's, like, not traumatized, but her past flings have obviously not gone great in this house. And Paige says, I think she's in a better place. And Amanda says, yeah, but, like, there's still that hesitation. So then the girls start talking about Lindsay's shower, right? And Lindsay says, yeah, it was really good for the most part. But Carl went to the Jersey Shore and his mom and Lou had concerns. So at the bridal shower, like, I mentioned something to Sharon. And Amanda says, I literally would have gone to my grave with that. And I'm trying to think, like, what would I do? I don't think, ooh. To the mother, confronting the mother. I don't know if it's like, I wouldn't say that it's inappropriate, but I don't think I would have the ball bags to do it. I just don't. So Lindsay tells them that conversation that she had with Sharon at the wedding shower was really hurtful. And it felt like rejection to her. And then, like, it's probably just in her head. But Paige is like, no, any woman marrying somebody and hearing that their mom is concerned about anything would be like a siren going off. And Lindsay says, well, I think the reason why I'm hurt so bad is that I don't speak to my biological mom. Like, yes, I have my stepmom who's been there since I was a child. I have my aunt. But, like, by marrying into this family, it's like me gaining an extra mom. And for me, it's like she's rejecting me before I'm even part of the family. And that's really hurtful for me. And that's like the one topic that makes me crumble. And then she tells him, like, Carl and I talked through it all. No, you didn't. And we're good. No, you're not. But this week was, well, I guess it was like a breakdown and a breakthrough. The page says, sometimes I think, you know, moms get in this place where their sons are getting married. They feel like they're losing their son. So just don't take it personally, right? Like, she's lucky to have you. So Lindsay and Paige walk out of the bathroom and Amanda says, well, hopefully it'll be a good weekend. And then she just kind of looks at herself and laughs and goes, well, fingers crossed. Meanwhile, Kyle's hanging out with Carl in their room. He's wearing some kind of Saved by the Bell, like the opening credits button down. I don't know. Carl's trying to kill a fly with one of Craig's pillows. I'm not sure. But they're talking about the bridal shower. And Carl's like, yeah, it was so great. You know, like, my heart was racing, you know, probably because I knew that I shouldn't be doing this. And it felt like practice for the wedding, the thing that I also shouldn't be doing. And then he tells Kyle, you know, my mom was there. She was excited to come. And I don't think I shared with this with you, but my mom has been privy to the ups and downs. You know, like, we've had our moments. And Kyle says, so what was that like for your mom? But then Amanda walks in. She's like, I'm just looking for my shoes. And so they kind of just keep it cute, thinking that she's just going to be in and out, right? But I think if this were me, she could sense that there was some shit going down. So she just stops looking for the shoes entirely. It just starts plopping down on the bed. They're like, oh, okay, well, I guess you're here then. me. So everybody's like outside. We're having outdoor, beautiful steak dinner. And they're like, should we be waiting for them? Like, what's going on? Because they're all upstairs in this room. So Kyle says, well, I guess you're joining in for the conversation. And Amanda mentions, well, Lindsay earlier said something about a conversation you had with your mom in New Jersey. And like, she said she felt rejected. And Carl's like, no, they were just concerned about what they were seeing. But there are certain things I'm not going to share with Lindsay. Like, that's my mom. And I'm going to share them with you. And all of America right now. So Amanda says, but when you don't tell Lindsay everything, are you doing that to protect her feelings? And Carl says, yeah, of course. So Amanda goes, okay, so there are other things that they've said. And Carl's like, yeah, I mean, listen, concerns are okay, but if anybody had more concerns, it was my stepfather. And Kyle asks him, well, where do you think those concerns even stem from? And he says, well, he's an ordained minister. He's married people for 35 years. He's officiated to handle weddings for lots of couples. He's done premarital counseling. And as it stands, if he was doing our counseling, he wouldn't marry us. But I can also understand, like, thank you for that. But you're not here on the front line. So I'm going to go back to my relationship that I see every day. I see the work Lindsay puts in. I see the commitment we have, the conversations we have during couples therapy. Now, I do want to put a pin in this conversation, in this comment, rather, when he's talking about how much work Lindsay's doing. Because Lindsay said during her tour after they broke up, and we also see it in a preview for the next episode, where Carl's telling her in the kitchen, I need more from you. And she's like, I'm trying so hard. And he's like, well, I need more. So now he's telling everybody, like, she tries so hard, and I'm seeing, like, we're here on the front lines, and we're, you know, in the trenches together, which another terrible way to describe your relationship, I think. I don't want to be on the front lines. I want to be on the beach. You know what I mean? I don't want to be fighting. I don't want to be that video of Trisha Paytas screaming in a foxhole. Why she did that, I'm not sure. But I don't want to do that. I want to just giggle. I don't want to be on a line. The only line I want to be in is the line for the crookie, which I have to tell you guys, if y'all are in New York, I don't know if you've heard, in Paris, they have done this crookie thing, which is a croissant. You open it in half, like, you know, open face style. You put cookie dough inside, close it up, cookie dough on top, put it, like, this is an already baked croissant, right? Put the cookie dough inside and on top, and then put it back in the oven, and then it bakes a nice little crispy cookie on top, and then it's like ooey gooey cookie in the middle. You think it's good? It's like even better than you can imagine. So the only place that you can find it in New York that I know of is a place called Noah Cafe, N-O-A. It's on 32nd Street and like Park or something like that. Y'all, Ooh. Listen, it's $9. And you're just going to have to get over it, okay? I'm just going to tell you right now, it's worth it. But also, I saw a lot of girls on TikTok that were like, you could just make your own. So maybe just like invest in a really good croissant and get like some pre-made cookie dough. And I think you could probably replicate a pretty good experience and enjoy. Anyway, where am I going? I'm hungry, I think. Ooh, can you hear my stomach? Ooh, I hope you didn't hear that. Okay, so we're going to move on real quickly so homegirl can have some breakfast. So basically, Carl's like, I didn't understand her abandonment stuff. Like, I know we were friends. I knew she had it. But until we went into that counseling room, I did not know. This was like deep, hard, on another level type shit. So Amanda says, well, how does that make you feel? And Carl says, well, it makes me feel fucking horrible. So Amanda goes, did you tell her what was said? What did Lou say? Did you tell her what Lou said? Carl says, no. And Amanda says, but isn't she going to see this? And Carl says, yeah, the other caveat is this. And he's just pointing to the cameras and the crew and the camera zooming out. And we're seeing this lady in her Adidas tank top and this man in his cargo shorts, just like watching them. You know, I loved it. I have the fucking chills. I love when a fourth wall is broken. Like, that is my shit, you guys. I love it. And what did I say last week? We need to have a fourth wall break because that does factor into all of this. And, like, we can't mistake that. Now, I was saying in the point of, like, we need to talk about this job shit. And the fact that Carl obviously has a job because we're watching it. But when we're talking about he doesn't have a job, we're talking about he doesn't have a job post this show. Because once we get married, we're probably not going to be on the show. Probably not going to be asked back. They were supposed to be friends of this season anyway. Like, we weren't supposed to be seeing all of this Carl and Lindsay. And also I find that very interesting because what else would we have gotten? You know what I mean? Like, God, if this had been... If they had, like, actually gotten married, like, let's pretend, like, they went through with everything and they're, like, full steam ahead, fully married, and, you know, the Wonder Twins this season being like, you guys were fine. How would we act? Ooh, I got the chills again. And I would just like to reiterate, and if we could just do this last minute, I don't know how many episodes we have left, but if we could just... add a countdown clock, I really think it would hone in on how horrifying all of this is. Like, not only is these conversations are bad in and of themselves, but they're also 3 months out, not even, from the wedding. And I just think if we just had a countdown clock, just every now and again, if we could really hone that in, like, to the minute, to the second, I would really love that. And I think it would add something. But anyway, thank God for Amanda and her disastrous relationship with Kyle to really be able to explain to Carl, like, how shit is about to go down with him. Okay? She tells him, dog, you think I wanted to tell my parents that Kyle cheated on me? No. And not only did I do that, I had to do that in season 5 on camera because I knew that they were going to see it. And I just had to tell them. It made me sick, but I'd rather have it come from me than having to tell them right before it aired. So Kyle's like, yeah. And her dad didn't even want to, like, say yes when I asked for her hand in marriage. He laughed at me. And Amanda's like, yeah, he laughed right in his face. Cut to a flashback of Kyle asking for permission. And Amanda's dad like, okay, that's funny. So Carl says, again, he's pointing to the cameras. It's not natural because of this. I would have had this conversation with my parents. I would have gone back to Lindsay and lied to her, basically, and been like, I love you. Let's get married. I can't wait. And Amanda says, okay, well, at the end of the day, Lindsay's going to find out what was said, and it's much better coming from you than later down the road. And so Carl's like, now he's, like, clammed up. He does not want to do this. I just don't want to hurt her. He doesn't want to be with her. I care about her and I fucking love her. In this moment, like, if their relationship was not already over, it definitely was, because it's clear to me that Carl does not want to be in this relationship anymore. And when he's saying, like, I care about her, I don't want to hurt her, he's like, I don't want to embarrass her, because, like, that part of it isn't necessary, but, like, I don't know how to get out of this any other way.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
He's talking exit strategy, not like, I want to maintain this relationship. So Kyle tells him, you're not being hurtful to her. Like, your mom's coming from a position where any mom would come from, right? And Carl says, well, obviously I need to talk to Lindsay, but, like, there's so much other shit that's on our plate. We still have wedding shit. We are getting our budgets back. My career's come this big fucking conversation. I don't have it all figured out. She wants to have a family. I've got a massive amount of anxiety. And the thought that my parents have questions about her, it's really hard. And Kyle says, well, I don't know. Look, we have to get down there. Sorry. So now we're back to the dinner table and we're getting more tea on Jesse and his dates. So Danielle asks him, What's your deal, man? Like, when you're dating, are you looking for your person? And, like, you're going on the weekends and having sex with randos? He goes, no, I'm always dating intentionally during the week. But, like, during the weekends, that's when I'm just trying to find leads. So Sierra says, you're kind of a trash bag. Like, I would never introduce you to not one of my girlfriends. And so Jesse's like, okay, well, that's rude. And then he says in a confessional, Sierra is my friend. So to call me a trash bag, I just feel like that would hurt anyone's feelings. It's not like I have a girlfriend and I'm still out here flirting. I'm as single as I can be. But Sierra's like keeping it. Yeah, but you're just trying to fuck on the weekends. And he says, that's not true. And she goes, it's annoying. Okay. It's annoying, I think. And Jesse goes, yeah, I'm annoyed too. Sierra does not pick up on this, but it seems like they kiss and make up. Next episode, so we're not gonna pay too much mind to this. So Carl comes back to the table and is like, sorry we're late, guys. And Lindsay's like, yeah, you guys were in there for a while. And he's like, yeah, we were. Was it lover boy stuff? No. But I think we should chat at some point. This shit drives me wild. Just take me now. He's like, well, the conversation that my mom and stepdad had, like, I just want to make sure we're both on the same page about it. And Lindsay says, well, we talked about this earlier this week. And Carl says, I know, but, like, I think we should just maybe revisit it, if you don't mind. Okay, well, let's just go now, right? Like, I'm just going to be on edge about this entire dinner. And Carl says, well, I'm just emotional. I'm sorry. And so Lindsay's like, okay, should we just talk now? So they get up. But right before they get up, Danielle sends her the little signal, like, are you okay? And Lindsay's like, mm-hmm. Yeah. So once they get up, they're all looking at Amanda and Kyle like, can somebody fill us in on what's going on? But Amanda's like, mm-mm. And she says in a confessional, I would hate to be in Carl's position right now. Like, I totally get why he hasn't told Lindsay yet. It has to come out. But if I were him, I would run away. You would never see me again. Kyle makes a point about how the table's now lopsided because they've now left. It's like two down on one side. So Amanda goes, oh, well, I'll go over there. But Paige thinks that she means she's going to go over to Carl and Lindsay. She goes, are you crazy? Don't go over there. Oh, I thought that's what you meant. So Carl and Lindsay go inside. They're sitting on the couches. And he says, when I went to New Jersey and I talked to my mom and stepdad, they've been concerned about the fact that we've been fighting and they just wanted to make sure we're good. And Lindsay says, I know, babe, we talked about this, but I'm confused as to what just happened. Like, why are you upset now? Because you're very upset and angry right now. And this is where Lindsay loses me again, because nothing about this situation from Carl was giving anger. Not one. This is a man hopped up on anxiety. He's got nothing in his stomach. But like a bite and a half of steak and chimichurri and a can of non-alcoholic Loverboy. Like, there's a lot going on. So Lindsay rolls her eyes like, okay, you're not angry then. And this, on Carl's part, that would piss me off. Because don't put that shit on me. That's a thing for me. So Carl says, I don't want any secrets from you. The conversation that happened with my parents, I need you to know so you're not blindsided and caught off guard. I just want to make sure that you know what Lou told me. He said, as it stands, where you guys are right now, if you guys were a couple that I was working with, I wouldn't marry you. And I just want to make sure that you know that was what was said in New Jersey. But they both love you. That's not a question. And Lindsay says, okay, I understand, but that initial conversation we have wasn't that in-depth. Like, you didn't tell me this before. And Carl says, yeah, I should have just told you from the beginning. So Lindsay's very measured, very chill. Well, I appreciate it. Just like, maybe try to communicate more in detail. If your parents are saying, I would marry you guys, it's kind of a significant thing to say, is it not? And Carl's like, well, he's just hearing from one person, not from you. And Lindsay says, okay, well, that goes back to a conversation that we had before where I try not to involve my parents in the details of our fights. And this is something that I'm like conflicted on. Because I do feel like when it comes to your family and like, I feel like everybody should have a surrogate. Everybody should have a sounding board outside of their relationship. So I never wanted to get so far as like we're hiding things that we really maybe should be like bouncing off of other people. I think people should have the right to do that, you know? But I also feel like there should be a right to like some proprietary information within your relationship, just because like it gets messy. If like for no other reason than like we've all been in a position where we've talked shit about somebody who we think our friend is about to dump and like never go back to again. And then they go back to them and then you're like, oh, hey, I was just talking cash shit about you and now you know it. And now it's a thing between us, you know? And so I do get that. Like if for that reason only, but I do think there are other like reasons where you shouldn't say things, but I also don't think that there should be like nothing. I don't know. Clearly they're not on the same page about this, but they're not on the same page about anything. So I guess I shouldn't over intellectualize one bit of 1,000. You know what I mean? I guess just to me, like, I don't blame Carl for divulging details, because we have to understand that he's now coming off of 2 weekends in a row where his partner has questioned his sobriety and she's done it on camera and she really hasn't like backed down on that. So he's now going into that second weekend or the third weekend going to home to Sharon and Lou and saying things like, I don't really blame him. Like, I would be really fucking pissed off about that, you know? And I don't blame him for saying that. I don't blame them for having their feelings. I don't know if I'm going to go so far as to say that this was like a completely, this being the conversation that Lou had with Carl, a completely staged conversation in order to like get him out of this relationship. I don't know. But where was I going with that? There's just layers, you know? There's layers to everything. We'll just leave it at that. I just feel like I'm not fully team Lindsay. I definitely empathize with her. Like, she definitely feels insecure. She has every right to feel insecure. I would be crying forever if I was about to marry some man and I found out that like his parents were saying the things that they said about her or their relationship. You know, it's not, I don't know if it's like super personal. I don't know. I'm conflicted. I'm going to spend the weekend and think about it. And we'll circle back next week, okay? So don't be mad at me. I'm learning and growing, okay? So anyway, after that, Carl's like, well, listen, they're just hearing from one person, not you. And Lindsay's like, yeah, that goes back to the conversation, right? So Carl says, I share some things, right? But I don't want you to think that, like, I'm going down there being like, she's the worst. I don't even say derogatory words. I talk honestly, and I just want to acknowledge it and, like, try and talk about it. So Jesse's outside. He wants the tea. Like, could somebody tell us, please, what's going on? Amanda, it's not our place, you guys, right? So So Sierra is like, okay, well, do you think they're fighting? What's going on? So they're all looking through the windows. And Gabby says, well, she's not doing her fighting hand. She's doing her, like, I'm trying to explain this to you in a calm way, but I'm assertive hand. So I think we're good. And Paige says, well, what do you think the chef is doing in the kitchen? She's just listening. Should we text him and ask him what's going on? Cut to him just, like, standing there. Like, truly, just, I want to have a conversation with Chef Adam and the guy, the Uber driver from the night of Scandaval. That's who I want to talk to. Okay. So after that, they're just like, Lindsay says to him, I appreciate what you just said. And Carl says, well, when Amanda told me that you were like emotional, I just thought I needed to clear the air about this conversation with my parents. And I just want to make sure we're clear. My mom and stepdad fucking love you. My mom came to the bridal shower because she wants to be there for you and for me. And Lindsay says, I understand. That's just not the conversation we had. It wasn't just me being like, oh, Sharon hates me. And Carl says, no, Amanda didn't say that. That's just like how I interpret it. That's my stuff. And so Lindsay says, well, it just came across as like pretty intense. And Carl's like, he's shaking. Like he could not be more nervous. He's like, I'm just overwhelmed right now. I am. We have so much going on. We have a lot to figure out. I have to get my career thing figured out. We're letting wedding loose ends to tie out. Like, it's just a lot. And Lindsay's like, and it's too much for me to have an emotion right now. And this is where I'm like, where do we get from? How is this your conclusion? And so Carl has to be like, no, I just wish I had told you sooner to not make you spiral. And she's like, well, I'm not spiraling. And he's like, no, I mean, I didn't want it to get to this point. Tough conversation. And he says, listen, when a conversation gets hard, I get nervous and I struggle with it. And Lindsay says, but why is this conversation tough? I'm like, well, girl, because you hurt him. Because he just tried to basically lie to you and say that his parents love you so much and they're so cool, but they also definitely don't want you to get married. At least Lou doesn't. And the only reason why he's telling you this is because Amanda was like, dog, wake up, buddy. You got a mic pack on. So hop to it. So after that, he's just like, I'm just overwhelmed by it all. And he sits there and he's looking at her in a way that's like, please just break up with me right now. Can you please? I'm begging you. And then she's looking at him like, I don't know what to tell you, sir. I don't know what to tell you. This is like a deeply, darkly demented relationship, and we're so blessed to be able to watch it in its final stages. Oh, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Y'all have a great weekend. Love you. Bye.